Have you ever thought to yourself, I wonder if I married the right person? Trent Griffith says that's the wrong way to be thinking about marriage.
So many people think the key to a happy marriage, the key to a durable, lifelong marriage is you got to find your soulmate. Can I please give you a public service announcement? You have a better chance of marrying a mermaid or a leprechaun than your soulmate, okay? Soulmates do exist. They are built in the second decade of your marriage. But if you give up on your marriage when the feelings of love die, you're never going to make it to the point where you are married to your soulmate.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. The idea of a soulmate is just one of the myths of marriage that exists in our culture. We'll hear the truth about marriage from Trent and Andrea Griffith today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I have to tell you guys, as great as it was a few weeks ago being on the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise with a lot of our listeners and a lot of our friends, it was a different kind of cruise for me this year.
Because we weren't with you?
That was part of it. That wasn't what I was thinking immediately.
There's somebody else that wasn't with
me,
man.
It's because my wife wasn't with me on the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise. And that's kind of a bummer, right, to go on a marriage cruise without your spouse?
That's terrible.
How was it, Bob?
The reason she wasn't with me is because we have a new grandbaby, and she was with the new grandbaby, who is doing great, but was in NICU for a while. He was born early. And so we looked at each other, and when he was born early, we said, well, it looks like you're going to be in Brooklyn instead of on the cruise. And that's where she was. And you go on with a whole different mindset when you're there without your spouse. I was there to speak and to help with some of the sessions. But I'll tell you, it was still so encouraging to have conversations with people. I sat down with couples at lunch one day and said, where are you from? They said, we're from Montana. And this other couple's from Nebraska. I said, how do you guys know each other? They said, we met on the cruise 5 years ago. And they've been coming regularly. It's their annual get-together with their cruise friends. And they look forward to it because it's so refreshing for their marriage and for their family. It's just a part of how they keep their marriage tuned up and keep the joy and the excitement present in the relationship.
I mean, and think about it. Why do you go on a vacation? You go on a vacation to refresh and refuel and what a better way to do it, to go on a boat with people you love, you met them on the boat, and you're going to retool and refresh your marriage with great content and fun. I mean, it's paradise.
There's a couple from our church that have gone 4 years in a row now. Mm-hmm. They loved it so much the first year. They're coming back every year. And every year they're bringing different kids or adult kids that are married, and it's their gift that they give to them. Hmm. And it's pretty special.
Yeah, and a lot of couples who have done this in past years are now going to their friends and saying, come with us. It's a whole different experience when you're on the cruise with two or three couples who you're good friends with. A week's vacation where you're being fed spiritually really is a great event. And I'm mentioning this for our listeners because we are 70% sold out for next year's cruise already. Hmm. This is from people who have been on the cruise before and have said, we want to go again. Next year, we're going to be on a bigger ship. We're going to be on the Allure of the Seas, which is 5,500 people. We're going to St. Thomas and the Virgin Islands. We're going to Puerto Rico. We're going to Coco Cay. We're adding an extra day to the cruise, so it's a 7 nights away. And we've got Dr. Gary Chapman who's going to join us. Dennis and Barbara Rainey will be with us. You guys are going to be on the cruise, going to be speaking on
Woo-hoo!
The cruise, right?
We are looking forward to it.
I'll be on, and I'm trusting that none of my kids will be delivering babies during Valentine's week next year.
You won't be by yourself.
I'm hoping Marianne will be with me as well. Great lineup of artists and speakers, and we wanted to make sure before it's all sold out that radio listeners get a chance to sign up and join us. And this month, if you use the promo code CruiseMadness, you can save $400 per couple off your cabin registration. All the information's available when you go to our website at familylifetoday.com. The offer is good. I said it's this month. It ends on the 25th of March. So get more information and join us on the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise in 2020, our 10th anniversary cruise. And today we're going to hear part two of a message from the cruise. Our friends Trent and Andrea Griffith spoke on the subject of myths about marriage and talked about how we need to correct our thinking, because you shouldn't let the culture be teaching you what marriage is all about. You need the Bible to be teaching you that.
Well, I love this because it's so true that so many of us come into marriage with this myth in mind. And I think a lot of that comes from fairy tales and Disney. And I came into marriage, this is going to be amazing. Dave's going to make me so happy, and I'm going to bless him and make him so happy.
And you're saying I didn't?
I'm saying that the reality is marriage can be hard. Mm-hmm. And so I think they really do a great job of exposing what are the myths and what's true.
Yeah, Trent is a pastor in Indiana. He and Andrea speak at our Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways. And they talked on the cruise about the myth today that marriage is out of date, that it's obsolete. They said the truth is marriage is good. And then they talked about what you were just talking about, Anne, that marriage is designed to make you happy. And they said we need to replace that myth with the truth, and that's where we're going to pick things up as we hear part two of their message from the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise.
So here's the truth that replaces myth number two. It is not marriage that will make you happy. Here's the truth. Marriage will make me better. Marriage will make me grow. Marriage will make me change. And marriage will make me holy if you will let it. Let me show you a verse in Romans chapter 12 that states this truth. It goes like this. Let love be genuine. You get it? There's no fake love that survives more than a few months in marriage. There's a difference between fake love that like gets you to the wedding altar, all the infatuation and all the feelings and everything you thought was love. That doesn't survive very long in marriage. There is a level of love that you get to that is more genuine than the love that got you to start dating. And here's the way you can find whether love is genuine. It's the next two statements. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Here's how I know that Andrea loves me with a genuine love. She abhors what is evil in me. And she clings and calls out what is good in me. Here's the deal. I got married when I was 27. I am an only child. Is there anybody else in here that's married to an only child? We have special prayer and counseling and healing services for many of you who are married to a person that had no idea how selfish they were because they never had to share anything growing up, including their own thoughts. And all of a sudden, they're married to another person that expects them to actually share their life and share their stuff, and even share their thoughts. Well, that's the package Andrea got delivered to her. And when I got married, what I realized I had married was a full-length mirror that reflected back to me the evil, twisted, selfish person that I was. And if I had not gotten married, I would have lived my life blinded to the reality of all the stuff that God wanted to change in me. Andrea loves me too much to fake that I don't have room to grow. So she lovingly and kindly and gently points out, that's not your finest quality. That's not your finest moment. That's not the best tone to use with the children or with me. And so if I really love her, what do? I realize that God is trying to use her to make me better. And because I'm married, I've got an opportunity to grow. Because you're married, you've got an opportunity to grow. You might say the person in this room that has the hardest spouse to be married to has the greatest opportunity to grow and to be better. Because in genuine love, we abhor what is evil, we cling to what is good.
The verse continues, it says, love one another with a brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. That word honor, it just means placing high value on. You did this when you were dating. You know, your fiance, the guy you're dating, he'd come to the door and you're just, oh, you're so happy to see him. You place that high value. Well, this verse, it tells us to outdo one another. I'm not a very competitive person. Trent's a lot more competitive than I am. But I like this competition because if we will do this, we both win. That's my kind of competition, that we're both trying to serve each other, or we're both trying to find things to put a smile on the other's face, or if looking out for the other's interest, outdo one another in showing honor. And this makes me better because I have to put aside my natural tendency just to think of myself, just to think of what I want, what will bring a smile to my face. Or I have to put aside my agenda and learn what his is, and then we can start creating an agenda together, weaving our lives together. So I really did start out believing and hoping that marriage would make me happy. And part of my happy dream, it was being married, but living in a house. It could even be a small house. I didn't care. Just a house near a beach in a warm, sunny climate. Okay? That was my dream. Anybody else have that dream? That was my dream. So Trent's dream was to do hard things for God. So I'm the wimp over here, you know, in a sunny little house on the beach. And Trent wants to do hard things for God. And so in order for me to be married to him, as part of our ministry after we got married, he moved me into an RV travel trailer for 15.
Trying to make you better, honey.
For 15 years, that was the only home we had, was an RV travel trailer. And as each child, when it was time for them to be born, they were just born in whichever state we were in. And that was just our marriage and our ministry and our life. And so 15 years after that, I finally got a house. Guess where it was? Michigan. Michigan.
There's a beach.
Yeah.
Beach.
So we get all the system snow that comes through, and we get all the lake effect snow, and that's where we live. We now live 5 miles south of that first original house where we're in Indiana. And I can guarantee you, the reality of that life has been harder than my little house on a beach, but it has definitely made me better. It's taught me so much on depending on the Lord and just staying under it and enduring. And the reality is, in this room, every one of you, marriage has been harder than you thought. Just the realities of life have been harder than you thought. And if we'll let it, it can cause us to grow. It can make us better. And then through the years of us being married, mirroring back to each other, what we see in each other, we can help shape each other to make us better so that when God has us in his hand as a tool to use, we are sharp. We're an instrument that he can use to do his work. Marriage won't make us happy, but if we'll let it, marriage will make you better.
And if marriage makes you better,
it'll make you happy.
It'll make you happy. Yeah. Here's the third myth, and we all believe it. Here it is. Love will hold my marriage together. I mean, what else can hold my marriage together, right? Love will hold my... See, here's the thing. We need a better definition of love and a better definition of marriage. Now, when we finally got to the altar there, and I walked Brooke down the aisle, and then I had to do the switch turnaround thing, and then David's there beside me, and, it's, you know, I got a lot to say about marriage, so I had to like cram it all into like one statement. So I told these guys, here's everything I want you to know about marriage. I want you to know what marriage actually is and what it's not. So here's what marriage is. Marriage is a holy covenant initiated by God, conditioned on an irrevocable promise to pursue oneness with an imperfect person of the opposite sex for a lifetime for the glory of God. That's all I got to say about it. And that's how we had a 40-minute wedding. But we need a better definition of marriage, and we need a better definition of love. So many people think the key to happy marriage, the key to a durable, lifelong marriage, is you got to find your soulmate. Can I please give you a public service announcement? You have a better chance of marrying a mermaid or a leprechaun than your soulmate, okay? Now, people have said soulmates don't exist. I rebut that. Soulmates do exist. They are built in the second decade of your marriage. But if you give up on your marriage when the feelings of love die, you're never going to make it to the point where you are married to your soulmate. So we have to have a different definition of love. Now, listen, something happened to me when I was 16 years old that gave me confidence in God's word to change a life. I was a junior, 1984, at Eisenhower High School in Lawton, Oklahoma. And I took a sociology class. My teacher, Mrs. Ryans, I'll never forget, she gave us an assignment one day. She said, I want you to go home tonight, take out a blank sheet of paper. I want you to write down your best definition of the word love. Now, when she made that assignment, you could hear an audible gasp from all the girls in the room. I mean, that was the easiest assignment they had ever received. I mean, they'd been thinking about that, and they knew what the wedding dress was going to look like, and I mean, it was just like, it was just flooded their minds, right? You could also hear a grunt by the guys, what? You know, we didn't have a clue. So I remember I went home that night, and I stared at that blank sheet of paper for an hour. I finally got some words down on the paper, took it back in, handed it in with everybody else at the next day. During the class, Mrs. Ryan's graded those papers. At the end of the class, she said, I want everybody to stop what you're doing. Everybody give me your undivided attention. You have got to hear the definition of love that one of you turned in to me today. It is the best definition of love I have ever received in 13 years of making this assignment in our public high school. And so she had our attention. This is what she read. She read, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in a wrongdoing. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love never fails. Now, when she finished reading that, everybody was looking around thinking, which one of us idiots could have written one of that definition? And finally, people began to demand Mrs. Ryans to reveal who wrote that. Finally, with a tear in her eye, she said, it was her teacher's pet. She said, Trent wrote that. And then people began to get mad at me. Because the level of love at the high school, the bar had just been raised. What we'd been doing on Friday and Saturday night that we was calling love was not love at all. And that was kind of destroying the relationship. So I had people like start shouting at me, that ain't love, that's real unrealistic, nobody can love like that. Big football player, I played football with him. He's like, my parents got divorced. Your definition says love never fails. Does that mean my parents didn't ever love each other? I finally raised up my hands like, look, look, I didn't write that. They said, you cheated. I said, I copied every word. And then I slid my sociology textbook away, and I pulled out my Bible that I took with me in my public high school every day, and I opened it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, and I revealed, I said, look, if you've got a problem with that definition, you really don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with God. That's God's definition of love. And if you don't like it, you need to take it up with God. I should have known then I was going to be a Family Life Weekend to Remember, Love Like You Mean It, speaker for Family Life, right? Now, listen, I didn't know this at the time, but Mrs. Ryan's was having a little trouble loving Mr. Ryan's, the school counselor, the disciplinarian, the guy you had to go see when you got in trouble. Well, you know what Mrs. Ryan's did? She took that definition of love and she went home and she started loving Mr. Ryan's according to God's definition of love. I didn't know this for another year, but in that moment, she not only embraced God's definition of love, she embraced God's offer of love. She received Christ as her own Savior, recognizing that Mr. Ryan's couldn't love her in a way that would meet the need of her heart. Only God could do that. So she received the love of Christ, and now she had a whole new supply of God's love to love Mr. Ryan's. A few years after that, I was the eighth grade Sunday school teacher at my church, and Mrs. Ryan's brought her two eighth grade students to my class, and I got to teach them God's definition of love. A few years after that, we went back and we had two little kids and we took them to check them in at the nursery and handed them off to the nursery teacher, who was Mrs. Ryan. I said, tell them God's definition of love because they don't know. And so, you know, and so God's definition of love changes everything, and it replaces the myth that love will hold your marriage together. Here's the truth. Marriage will hold your love together. Yeah. It is the commitment. It is the genuine love going to God to get the supply of love that you need to bend it out to your spouse to love them in a way that you could never love them on your own.
And Trent just gave us God's definition of love, one of them. And yet I find myself having my own definition of love so many times. Like, love has to look a certain way or feel a certain way, or it's just my thoughts. And so every day I have to go to God's word and get in it and say, okay, what is truth? What is right? What does God say? And then put my life, my thoughts, my feelings under the authority of Scripture and let myself change under what God says is love. And then when I see how much He loves me, even in my weakness and in all my mess ups and so many things, then I'm able to take that love from Him and give it out to my spouse, to my children, to the people in my life where maybe things aren't going so well. So our culture is gonna tell us one thing. Our culture says, marry the one that we love, right? Our culture tells us, marry the person that you love. So yeah, that's all in favor of that. We want to marry the person we love, but the gospel takes it another step. The gospel tells us, now love the one you marry. Every day, to make that choice to love my spouse again, to choose my spouse again, to put my spouse first in my life, in everyday, daily things, to choose him again.
So here's what we learned. Marriage will hold my love together. Marriage will make me better. Marriage is good. But there's a caution. Marriage is good, but marriage is not God. You see, like a Michigan road, we're constantly sliding into one ditch or the other. On one side, we're in the ditch that marriage is obsolete, and so we overcorrect. And if we're not careful, we'll slide into the ditch on the other side and believe that marriage is an idol. We'll idolize marriage. Listen, marriage is good, but marriage is not ultimate. It is a covenant relationship with God that brings the foundation for you to have the covenant love relationship for a lifetime with your spouse. It's not until you recognize that on that cross, God absorbed his wrath so that he could love us perfectly, even though we are imperfect, to empower us to imperfectly love another imperfect person in the context of a lifelong love relationship called marriage.
Well, again, we've been listening to part two of a message from Trent and Andrea Griffith from the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise that happened a few weeks ago. And Trent is exactly right. This is what you guys talk about in your book, Vertical Marriage. If we want our marriage relationship to be all that God intends it to be, we need to understand that flows out of our relationship with God, understanding his love for us, and then letting that love spill out to one another.
Yeah, you know, he did such a good job talking about it. It's like the myth is you think another person will give me everything I'm longing for. I mean, every show, every romantic, you know, story sort of alludes to that. And I think because we buy into that, we then are disappointed when that person doesn't bring us the happiness we're long for. So Trent and Andrea get at, it's only God that can do it.
Right.
It's vertical marriage. When you go vertical, you find what you're looking for from the Creator, not from the creation.
And I'm just going to confess, I did put my marriage for a time before God, and it does not work.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is great, but it's not the ultimate. It is not God, and it doesn't give you the full satisfaction that only God can give.
You expect your husband or your wife to do things that only God can do, only Jesus can do in your life, and no human being can live up to that, right?
Exactly.
As great as the person you married is, they are not a good God.
Yeah, that's right. Well, again, I want to remind listeners, the 2020 Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise, our 10th anniversary cruise, is going to be happening Valentine's Week next year from February 9th through the 16th. We're adding a day. We're going to Puerto Rico, St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, and Coco Cay. And we're also on board a new cruise ship next year, the Allure of the Seas, a Royal Caribbean cruise ship that's an amazing vessel. We've got a great lineup of speakers, including Dave and Ann Wilson, Dennis and Barbara Rainey will be joining us, Dr. Gary Chapman, Charlie and Kirsty Dates are going to be with us, Marianne and I will be on the cruise. Got a lot planned, some great musicians and artists who will be with us. We'd love to have you join the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise in 2020. Right now, 70% of the cruise ship is sold. So if you'd like to join us, you need to act quickly. And our team has made the next few weeks Cruise Madness. In fact, that's the promo code you can use to save $400 per couple off your stateroom for the 2020 cruise. And that's the lowest price that's going to be available this year. So go to familylifetoday.com for more information about the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise and plan to join us on board February 9th through the 16th, 2020. Again, if you have any questions or if you'd like to register, go to familylifetoday.com or call us if you have any questions. 1-800-FL-TODAY is our number, 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, tomorrow, we're going to hear from a panel of speakers who were on board the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise. They're going to be answering questions that were posed by our cruise guests. And many of the questions had to do with marital intimacy. So that's where we'll start with tomorrow's program. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.